We continue our learning the Nishmas Davi Ben Menachem Rishon Nechem Yaakov and Pinchas Aliya. We are in Gittin Perek Beis Mishnah Alf. Now we remind ourselves that a shaliach who's delivering a get Mimidinas Hayam has to say the words Befanai Nechtav, Befanai Nechtam. This get was written in front of me and it was signed in front of me. Our Mishnah is going to deal with a case where maybe he doesn't say both of those statements and what the halacha would be in such a case. Hamevi get Mimidinas Hayam Va'amar Befanai Nechtav, Avalo Befanai Nechtam. First case is where we speak about someone who's delivering the get, the shaliach laholach, and he says this was written in front of me, but he didn't mention anything being signed in front of him. Bifanai nechtam, avalo bifanai nechtam. Well, let's say he says this get was signed in front of me, but it was not written in front of me. Or bifanai nechtav kulo, bifanai nechtav nechtam chetzio. This was written, the entire thing was written in front of me, but only half was signed in front of me, which means I only saw one aid, one of this signatures being signed, but not the other one. Or bifanai nechtav chetzio, bifanai nechtam kulo. Let's say he says, I only saw part of the get being written, half of the get, we'll have to see what that means, but the entire thing was signed in front of me, I saw both signatures. Says the Mishnah, all of these cases, possible. And we have to go through each and every one, and we also remind ourselves, we have to go through each and every one and explaining it both according to Rabba and according to Rava. According to Rabba, remember the reason why the Shaliach is coming and saying the words, bifanai nechtam, bifanai nechtam, is to ensure that the get, which is coming from Chutz La'aretz, was written Lishma. According to Rava, we want to make sure that we're verifying signatures now so that in advance, because since it's coming from a faraway place, we may never not be able to authenticate the signatures in the future. So therefore, we're going to do it now. So take the first case where he said, the Shaliach said, "Fanai nechtav." This was written in front of me, but it was not signed in front of me. So according to Rava, you know why this is possible? Because Rava believes that not only should the get be written Lishma, that we need to verify it was Lishma, but we need to know that the people signed Lishma. That's also important. So therefore, just saying Mufanai Nechtav is not enough. According to Rav, it's obvious why this is not enough. Just saying Mufanai Nechtav, this was written in front of me, and not saying this was signed in front of me, so you haven't verified the signatures. How can this count as Kiyum Shtaros in advance? So therefore, you need both Befanai Nechtav and Befanai Nechtam. What about the second case, where he said this was signed in front of me, but it wasn't written in front of me, or he says, I wasn't there for the writing. So why is that not acceptable? So according to Rabbah, obviously, since the get primarily has to be written Lishma, v'kasav la, sefer krisos laz Lishma, and here the get was not written Lishma, or you don't know that it was, because he doesn't testify that this was written in front of me. So it's not enough just to say Befanai Nechtam, this was just signed in front of me. According to Rava, what's the problem though? According to Rava, Bifanai Nechtam should be enough. Aren't you just verifying signatures in advance of just in case the husband in the future will contest the validity of the get by saying it was forged and we won't have the signatures around because it's so far away. Ain Aidin Mitsuyim Lakaimo, they're not around in order to verify signatures. So that's what I'm trying to do now in advance. So the words Bifanai Nechtam, this was signed in front of me, should be sufficient. What's wrong if you left out Befanai Nechtav? So the answer is because Rava doesn't want you to confuse get with other shtaros. Person may think if the shaliach just says Befanai Nechtav, this was signed in front of me and that's enough. So people will think, oh, I guess that's enough for every shtar. Every document can have signatures. We can verify signatures in advance by saying, I saw the people sign. But that's not true. This is special heter that we have by a get. The way to show that this case is different is to have the words Befanai Nechtam preceded by the words Befanai Nechtav. This was written in front of me. Then I know, oh, now we're talking about a get. That's something unique. What about the next case where he says this was signed in front of me the entire, this was or rather written in front of me the entire thing, but only half was signed. I only saw one signature. So this is no different than saying Befanai Nechtav and not saying Befanai Nechtam at all. One signature is meaningless on a get. So by saying this was written in front of me and half was signed in front of me, it's like saying this was just written in front of me, and of course that's not sufficient. What about the last case? This was half was written in front of me. Befanai nechtav chetzio, ubefanai nechtam kulo. The entire thing was signed. Both signatures were signed in front of me, but only half the get was written in front of me. That is also puzzle. What does it mean, half the get? So we'll learn a little bit later as well that again has two sections. One's called the Toref, Tuf Vav Resh Fei. Toref is the most important part of the get, is the primary part of the get, which is the date and the name of the husband and the wife. And then there's the Tofes, Tes Vav Fei Samach. That's the standard text. Like when you buy a ksuba, let's say in the Judaica store, you get it online. So what do you have? A standard text of the ksuba. Every ksuba is pretty much the same. Then you have the lines that are blank. And what do you put in the lines? You put the date and you put the name of the chassan and the kala. So that's what you do. So that's called the toref, what you're filling in. What's unique about this man and this woman, and the same thing is true when it comes to a get. So the toface is, now normally we write the entire thing to begin with from scratch on a blank cloth, but nonetheless these two sections are different. One is, as we said, is the standard text of a get, and one is the toref, right, which is the most important part, which is the name of the husband and the wife and the date. So what's happening in this mishnah is when the shaliach says, oh, half the get was written in front of me, you know what half he's talking about? He's talking about the standard text, the tofes. So if that was written in front of him, that's really meaningless. What does it mean that you saw the standard text was written in front of you? That's the standard text. You have no idea about this being written l'shma for this particular man, this particular woman. You weren't there for that. And so he said, if I saw half of it written and the whole thing was signed in front of me, so that's not going to be good, because by saying half was written in front of me and that half was the toe face, that was the standard text, so then that's like saying that it was not written in front of you at all. However, the Gemara says, if in fact he says, oh, you know what was written in front of me? The Toref. I was there not for the standard text, but I saw the writing of the date and the man and the woman. So then that actually would be acceptable, even though that's not, he didn't see the entire text being written. And of course, as long as he said, "Befanai nechtam kulo," that the entire thing, both edim, are signed in front of me. Then the Mishnah says, "Echad omer befanai nechtav, ve'echad omer befanai nechtam pasul." If one aid, one shaliach, one person coming to testify from a din asayam says this was written in front of me, and the other says this was signed in front of me, that's also pasul. So what's the problem with that? So the Gemara says it's because only one of those people was really the shaliach. The husband only appointed one particular person to act as the shaliach. It's what we say, the get is yotzei midach mitachas yad echad. Only one of those people was the real shaliach. So if that's the case, we only believe him. So the shaliach, therefore, is only saying mefanai nechtav, or the shaliach is only saying mefanai nechtav, and we ignore the other person. So this is no different than the beginning of the Mishnah, where we only have half coming from the shaliach. The chachamim only allowed when it comes to shaliach, we only allow, what we're saying is that as long that you could appoint two people as shlichim, that would be fine, and then this would be acceptable. But in general, we only allow the get is only in such a case where only one a person is appointed shaliach, so only his aedus matters and not the other person. And interestingly, if two people are shlichim with the bringing of the get, so then according to Rava, that's acceptable without them saying anything. Even if they don't say b'faneinu nichtav u'b'faneinu nechtam, this was written and signed in front of us. If two eidim were appointed as the shaliach, if they testify that the husband gave him the get, that doesn't need any kiyum at all. That's the kiyum staros right there, then and there. And according to Rava, certainly that would be acceptable. So that is the case again where I have one saying b'fanai nechtam, and since only one of those is the shaliach, we don't have the full statement. Shnaim omrim b'faneinu nechtav ve'echad omer b'fanai nechtam, also possible. Here we have a case where two people say b'faneinu nechtav, this was written in front of us, and one of them says b'fanai nechtam, but here the one who said b'fanai nechtam is the shaliach, so we only have half a statement. So the two people who say b'faneinu nechtav, that's not helpful, because they were not the shaliach, and having two people say b'faneinu nechtav doesn't really help us at all. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. He says that this get is acceptable, even though it's coming mitachas yado shel echad, even though it's only being handed over, meaning the only shaliach was the one who said, the befanai nechtam. This is acceptable when you have two eidim who say befaneinu nechtav. Or maybe Rabbi Yehuda argues, would agree with the halacha before. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in such a case, he says, if the shaliach delivering the get, he says, I saw it signed. And the two other witnesses say that, oh, it was written in front of them. The get is okay. Why? Since their aid is about the writing of the get, and they testify about the writing of the get. And now I have this one person who's the shaliach. He's saying that this get was signed in front of me. So I have all the edus that I want. So in fact, and we'll explain this further, Rabbi Yehuda even disagrees with the previous halacha of the Mishnah. And if one witness testifies about the writing of the get, the other about the signing, that's also okay. That's also acceptable. Why is that acceptable? So let's go back and remind us of something we learned earlier. When someone comes and says, b'fanai nechtam. So our case here, the shaliach who is appointed says, b'fanai nechtam. What's the problem with that? What's the problem in general if he just said, b'fanai nechtam? So he said, according to Rava, at least, and we follow Rava. According to Rava, the problem is, it shouldn't be a problem because all he's doing is verifying signatures. What should be the issue? The issue is it needs to be preceded by the statement of Fanai Nechtav because otherwise you're going to confuse this and think that you can do Kiyum Staros not only by a get, by anything, by having in advance only one aid. So that's therefore that's why you always need the statement of Fanai Nechtav before. So since this person was the only shaliach, and he only said b'fanai nechtam. Let's go back to the previous case. And the other statement b'fanai nechtav is coming from someone else. So the shaliach needs. I don't want you to confuse other cases and think that it's sufficient to have b'fanai nechtam alone. And since the shaliach, he's the only guy, so he's saying b'fanai nechtam, and there's no b'fanai nechtav that he's saying. So people are going to think I could do kiyum shtaros in such a fashion by everything else. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, hold on 1 second. You're not going to confuse it. Because in this case, it's true that the shaliach only said the word b'fanai nechtam, but I do have a b'fanai nechtav. I have it by one aid, or maybe two aidim, like in the second case that we just did. Although that person or these people are not official shalichim, it doesn't matter. No one will confuse this with regular cases of kiyum shtaros, because there is a b'fanai nechtav statement. Happens not to be said by the shaliach, but it doesn't matter. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that in these cases, it's going to be kasha. Then the Mishnah says, Echad omer b'fanai nechtav, u'shnayim omim b'faneinu nechtam kasha. Here you have one person who says this was written in front of me, and two people say this was signed in front of me. You mentioned this a little bit before. This is acceptable according to Rava. That would be okay even if the get is there's only one shaliach. It's not a problem because I have two eidim on the chasima. So even the one who said b'fanai nechtav is the official shaliach, two other people said, oh, this was signed in front of, they're not official shlichim, it doesn't matter. Once they come say this was signed in front of us, that is two eidim on the chasima, that's acceptable. And according to Rabbah, so when one person says b'fanai nechtav and he's the shaliach, let's say, and two say b'faneinu nechtam, according to him, why is this acceptable? So this is only good where the get, the person who said b'fanai nechtav, is the shaliach. Why is that so? Because the chachamim believe the shaliach, as we said, as if he's two eidim. And this one person says this was written b'fanai nechtav in front of me. So now I have like two people on the writing. And two eidim also come to tell me that they were signed. So I have to put those two things together. The shaliach laholach officially says this was written in front of me. And two other eidim, it's two eidim, they say this was signed in front of us, so I have all the information that I need. However, others say that even according to Rabbah, the get is only kosher if it's coming from the two eidim that are testifying on the chasima, that they were the shlichim. But if the get is coming, meaning the only person who is appointed shlich was the one who's testifying on the ksiva, so then since he didn't say the full statement, even in this case where he says b'fanai nechtav and two others who are not shlichim said b'faneinu nechtav, even though there are two people on the signatures, according to Rabbah, maybe they would not be kosher. Different ways to understand the end of the Mishnah. Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. Nichtav Bayom V'nechtam Balayla. You have a get that's written during the day, and the signatures are also on that same day. So of course we'll see that that's acceptable, that's kosher. This is leading up to a case which is, as we'll see, is going to be puzzle in a moment. Balayla V'nechtam Balayla gets written at night, and it was signed at night, or Balayla V'nechtam Bayom, or let's say it was written at night, but it was signed during the daytime. Kosher. This is all kosher because we know by here Vayivoker Yom Echad. We know that the night is the beginning of the day in halachic terms. So if again it was written at night and then it was only signed during the daytime, so that's still the same date. That's still the same day, and that's perfectly acceptable. But by Yom Benechtam Balayla Apostle. But if the get was written during the daytime and only signed at night, since it's the next day, that's going to be invalid. That's what we call a get muktam. Get that was written early, meaning it has a date. The date of the get, of course, is the day that it was written. And therefore, so it was written, let's say, on Aleph Elul, but it was only signed at night, and now it's Beis Elul. So the date that you have on that get, people think that that get took effect on Aleph Elul, even though officially it did not, because it was only signed on Beis Elul that night. So that's the halacha, is this is not acceptable. The Gemara explains why this is true. In fact, the whole idea of having a date on a get is only a takanas chachamim. Why the chachamim feel that it was necessary to have a date on a get? Because of what's called a bas achoso, because of his niece. What do you mean his niece? So his sister's daughter. So the halacha is, and in fact, Gemara speaks about maybe in those days that this was maybe an important shidduch, that a man would marry his niece. That was considered something not only acceptable, but maybe even proper. So the concern, of course, and that's halachically acceptable. The concern, of course, is that the preen may try to protect her in cases maybe where she was not so careful, the cases where she was promiscuous. Even in their marriage, but because he feels she's family, he has to protect her. So what are we afraid of? We're afraid that she's going to be mizana tachtav. They're married, and she was mizana with another man, and he kind of feels bad. So what he does is, in order to protect her, he gives her a get. And of course, giving her a get after she's mizana, it's too late. She was an eshes ish. She's mizana. She's chay misa. Big problems over here. Nonetheless, in order to protect her, he gives her a get to say, "Oh no, she was divorced anyway. She was not married to me." Now, if there's no date in a get, so an undated get is she could claim, "I was divorced at that time. I wasn't mizana. It wasn't an affair. I wasn't married to my uncle at that time." If you don't have a date and a get, we're afraid that this potentially could happen. She's going to take out the get and say, "No, I was single at the time. I was divorced at that time." Therefore, we need zman and a get so the husband in such a case would not protect his wife. And that's what we know exactly when a woman is mezana and when she's not. Therefore, a get mukdam, an early get, is going to be possible because we're afraid this was all part of takanas chachamim, that you need the proper date on the get. It has to be done all properly, the time and the signing. You can't have a date because this is really a get mukdam, our case, where it's signed later and the date is a day earlier. Since it was signed on Beis Elul and it was really written on Aleph Elul, that's what we call a get mukdam, and we don't allow that. Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Rabbi Shimon says such a get is acceptable. Why is that acceptable? Because Rabbi Shimon holds that the reason the Chachamim instituted a zman, a time that needs to be a date on a get, was not because of this concern of Baal HaChoso at all. Different concern. We're afraid that the husband may sell the Nichsei Molug of his wife after Gerushin, and remember Nichsei Molug from Maseches Ksuvos. Nichsei Molug is the property, the keren, the principal belongs to the wife, and a husband during their time, their life, during their marriage, so he has the right to eat the peiros, to eat the produce of that Nichsei Molug. So she owns a field, he's able to eat the produce, and he has the right to even sell that produce. She has a chicken, he can use the eggs, and he can even sell those eggs. We're afraid what's he going to do? If there's no time in a get, a husband's going to still be using and selling the produce from the Nichsei Malug after he already divorced her, and he has no right to that anymore. That belongs to her now. But if there's no dana to get, he will claim that, oh no, what are you talking about? We weren't divorced just yet. And therefore, you need a date and a get, so he cannot claim that he sold them before they were divorced. We know exactly when they divorced, and we know what point. There's a cutoff point where he is no longer has no rights to that nechsei melug anymore. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, you know what, a get that was written during the day and signed that night, right afterwards, written on Aleph Elul and signed on Beis Elul, so we're not okay. We're not afraid. It's a get muktam. He says, no, from the time, I'm not worried about that. Why? Because from the moment a husband is what we call nasan einav legarish esishto, already has in mind to divorce his wife, even though he didn't divorce her yet, he has no rights to the peros of the nechsei melug. So what that means is this not really a get muktam? We're not afraid of that, because the moment that the get is written, once he's planning to divorce her, once you start writing it, he has no rights to the nechsei melug any. We wouldn't allow him to use the nechsei melug. So the fact that, oh, he's going to make up a story, he really sold them, the get really didn't take effect till Beis Elul. He really sold them. This was all earlier. So we're not afraid of this concern because it's only because the signing of the get, which is when it really takes effect, it happens to be when they divorce. But that's not the time where the nechsei melug are no longer his. The nechsei melug no longer his from Aleph Elul, from the very beginning when he plans on divorcing her. Shehayah Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon used to say Kol Hagitin, which means in general documents shenichtavu bayom venechtavu balayla, that are written during the day and signed at night, psulim. He generally says they are puzzled, meaning it's only an exception by a get that he says that a get written during the day and signed at night is acceptable. All of the staros are not acceptable. Why are they not acceptable in other cases? He's explained why we're not worried about that when it comes to a get, but why are we worried about a shtar muktam when it comes to other staros? So the answer is, and then he ends here, shenichtav are psulim chutz migitei nashim. Kitei nashim is the exception. But why is another star in general get another star puzzle if it's written during the day and signed at night, where it's a star muktam? Because of the lien on property. What to take a loan document, for example. So a person lends money to Shimon, so all of Shimon's property is meshubad, is mortgaged to pay back that loan. And it's mortgaged to pay back the loan from the date that the shtar is signed. Because that's when it takes effect. Let's say you wrote a shtar, on Aleph Elul, and you didn't sign it till Heyel. So that would mean that all of the properties of Shimon, who's the Loveh, only are mortgaged to pay back the loan from Heyel. But Reuven's going to take this, the Malvi is going to take this star and say, aha, you didn't have the right to sell that house, to sell that field, because this, look at the date, this is from Aleph Elul. He says, no, it didn't take effect till later. Therefore, star muktam is not acceptable, even written by Yom and signed by Laila. Get is an exception because the peros, that concern about the peros, of the nechsei melug peros, doesn't go by the date of the get itself when it's signed. It goes by the time the husband plans on divorcing his wife, which is the time that they start writing the get.